All right. So our first topic is going to be the sugya of lavud. Begins with the sugya in Daf Hei Amud Aleph, and the Gemara also talks about it on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. So we came across it in the first parak, where the Gemara suggested that maybe our Mishnah is a case of nisina miyad liyad. However, even though you generally need dalet al dalet, maybe the case of our Mishnah is a case where you have dalet al dalet. How so? So the Gemara says, Sheshil shal yado lamata migim of the kibla. Maybe you extended your hand below three tefachim, and you're makabel the chepetz. So clearly the Gemara is assuming that lavud helps you accomplish dalet al dalet. So even though the Mishnah doesn't have it, seemingly, nonetheless we can make a new kimta where lavud accomplishes dalet al dalet, and you satisfy the requirements for akira v'hanacha. The Gemara on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph wants to know what the makar for lavud is. How do you know that anything within gimel tefachim of the karka is considered kikarka? So first, the Gemara suggests, because it's impossible to have a smoothly paved reshus harabim. So since you can't have a perfectly smooth reshus harabim, so we have some leeway within three tefachim. You have bumps, so those bumps are just have a din of karka reshus harabim. That's the Gemara's initial suggestion. The Gemara challenges it based off the fact that we have cases where we apply lavud limala. If the walls of a sukkah get within three tefachim of the schach, so we say that that's considered lavud. So how could you have lavud limala if it's midin, the smoothness of the karka de Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara says, no, mafi halacha l'moshe misinai. That's the Gemara on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. You ready? Have a question?
Yeah. If when the Gemara rejects the smoothness, does that mean that from now, at this point, we count, like, if there's a bump, we count three tefachim for the bump, or if there's a dent, we count three tefachim for the dent?
No, l'chor, the Gemara still wants to apply it to the smoothness of the Rishus HaRabim, just that at least it's learned out from Gzeres HaKasa,
okay.
From Lachal Moshe Misinai. Okay. I think that's the Pashuk.
Even if you had, like, a big bore that was two tefachim deep, then
yeah.
you get six
tefachim. Right.
Off the
ground. 100%. I think that comes, we should talk about it now, Daf Ches. So let's try to discuss some of the nafkamina of lavud by contrasting lavud to the din of kluta. So the first nafkamina is going to be dalet al dalet. The Gemara assumed on dalet amid beis that kluta would not give you an akir v'hanacha of dalet al dalet. And yet the Gemara in Hamid Aleph assumes that lavud does give you dalet al dalet. So clearly you see that there's a stronger shame makom that's given from lavud than you would have gotten through kluta kamisha hun chadamia. That's the first nafkamina. The second nafkamina is Tosus Chiddush on Dalet Amud Aleph, where Tosus wanted to suggest that you can't say Kluta kishachefetz biyado. Yad blocks Kluta. So that's Tosus' suggestion, but that's clearly against any parallel that you could have in Lavud. Because the Gemara says, Kigon sheshil shel yado lamata migimo. So the chefetz is in your hand below three tefachim, and yet Lavud kicks in. So you see once again that the, at least here, the not necessarily the shame makom, but at least the tfisa of the avir of lavud is going to be stronger than the tfisa of kluta. Because lavud would work even though yado is ba'emtza. Third nafkamina between lavud and kluta, demonstrating that lavud has a stronger tfisa. Tosos on Tzadi Bezim and Aleph. Tosos wants to know, according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds kluta, which is how the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis wanted to be okim the Mishnah, you should be chayiv the moment the ani is pashat yado lechutz. So Tosfos said no, because we're paskening eged yad shmei eged. So even if you're poshet yad lefnim, the ani is poshet yad lefnim, or the Baal Bayis is poshet yado lechutz, you're not going to be chayiv, because eged yad shmei eged, and the yad is still considered to be in the rishos of the guf. So you're not going to be chayiv. However, the Gemara on Tzadi Beis is explicit that if yada was lemata mi gimel, lavud to the karka, in the same scenario, you would have been chayiv. So Tosa says, what you would emerge saying is that kluta cannot block you from saying eged yad shmei eged, meaning the eged of the yad to the guf could override kluta. Eged yad shmei eged cannot override the tfisa of lavud. So you have three nafkamina between lavud and kluta. The stronger question and more immediate for our sugya is whether or not lavud will give you a maisa hanacha. Let's say the chefetz doesn't rest on the karka at all. Can you say that within three tefachim of the ground, so the chefetz is considered already to be nach? So the Gemara on Ches Amud Aleph seems to take a very strong stance on this, and the Gemara says that if you're zorek a kli, that's zayin umashu, If a kli is 7 tvachim tall, 7 and a mashu tvachim, so the Gemara says that you're going to be chayiv. Okay? However, if it's sheva, the shnei mashuhuyin, as Rashi puts it, so then you're going to be pater. Why are you going to be pater? So Rashi explains, because the moment the kli comes within 3 tvachim of the karka, the moment it's lover to the karka, so the top of the kli is still in a makom patur. So you're not going to be chayiv l'inyan Shabbos, because to be chayiv l'inyan Shabbos, you need the entire kli to be nach in the rishos. So clearly Rashi's and the Gemara are assuming that the moment the kli comes within 3 tvachim of the karka, it's considered nach, even though it still has another 3 tvachim to traverse. So it seems from the Gemara and Daf Ches that lavod would actually accomplish a maisa hanacha. Similarly, the Gemara on Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph, Kifi Pshuta, according to Reb Chidkiya Bar Tzuvi, so the Gemara says, if you're Zorek, Mir Rishus HaYachid, Lir Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, Lemata Migimel, you do Zrika within 3 Tfachim of the ground, so the Gemara says, Yibesoch Gimel, Divri HaKol Chayiv. Everyone's going to hold that you're Chayiv. Seemingly, according to the Pashas of the Gemara, even without any physical Hanacha. So even if you have Machlokas about Kluta above 3 Tfachim, everybody agrees to kluta of lavod l'malam migimel tvachim. The problem is that both of these gemaras, especially the sugya on Tzadi Zayin that the Rishonim all point out, seems to be sosir the gemara on Daf Kuf. The gemara on Kuf Amid Aleph has the mission of zarak l'soch dalet amos v'nizgalgel chutz l'dalet amos. So the gemara says that even, or at least, right? At least the way Rava explains it, Amar Rava, Toch Gimel Rabbanan Tzarech Hanachal Gabi Mashu. Even if the Chepetz comes within Gimel Tfachim of the Karka, so you can't say the Chepetz is Nach through Lavud. You need a physical Hanachal Gabi Mashu. So you have a Stira. According to B'chidke V'artuvi on Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph, Lavud suffices for a Maisa Hanacha. According to the Gemara on Kufa Amid Aleph, Lefi Rava, you need a Hanachal Gabi Mashu even below 3 Tfachim. So how are you Miyashi the Stira? Rabbeinu Chananel on Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph already points this out. So there's a stira between two sugyas. He says, I think we're going to paskin like Reb Chidkiya on Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph. According to Ben Chananel, you paskin like Tzadi Zayin, like Daf Ches. Lavud does not need any physical hanacha. The Meiri on Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph also points out the stira, but he's mechalik. Doesn't want to say it's an actual stira lemaskana. Ben Chananel thinks it is a stira lemaskana, or machlokas lemaskana. The Meiri suggests that you have to be mechalek between Rishus HaRabim and Chilaf Rishuyos. When you're throwing Dal Ramos b'Rishus HaRabim, so then you can't say Kluta B'chad Rishus. Since you can't say Kluta B'chad Rishus, so Lavud won't count as a Maisa Hanacha. Very fascinating. The Meiri assumes that Lavud is just a stronger form of Kluta. And just like all the Rishonim said, Kluta doesn't apply B'chad Rishus, Lavud, which is the stronger equivalent, won't apply either. So that's the Gemara on Daf Kuf Amid Aleph. If you're working within one Rishus, you need Hanachal Gabi Mashu. The Gemara on Tzadi Zayin is talking about Chilaf Rishuyos. When it comes to Chilaf Rishuyos, you could rely on Lavod without a physical Hanacha. That's the Meiri's Chilaf. Tosos and Erevin on Tzadi Chesem and Beis. Tosos is also bothered by the Stira between the Gemaras. Tosos offers a different Chilaf. Not about Chilaf Rishuyos versus within one Rishus. It's a question of where the Chefetz is coming from. If the Zrika entered the airspace, if the Zrika is coming from Lamala Migimel, and now it's going to be Nach Lamata Migimel, Tos says there you need a Hanacha Agabe Mashu. You need a physical Hanacha, you can't have a Lavud. You can't have a Hanacha just of Lavud. If the Chefetz remained below Gimel Tvachim the entire time, then you do not need a Hanacha Agabe Mashu. Lavud suffices. It's a very hard distinction to understand. What? Yeah, Tosa says if the Chepetz is falling from above Gimel to Lamatami Gimel, then you need a physical Hanacha. If the Chepetz remains below Gimel the entire time, Lavud suffices. Okay? What's the basis for the distinction? So the Chazanish suggests that if the Chepetz stayed Lamatami Gimel the entire time, then Alpidin you're dealing with not Zrika, because the Chepetz never left the Karka of the Rishus, you're dealing with Mavir. So since you're dealing with Mavir, it's Kilu, it's actually Nach the entire time. It's changed Rishuyos, so there you have an Akira. But since the Chepetz never left the Karka, you're dealing with since the Chepetz never left the karka. So you're dealing with mavir. And for mavir, so it's the chefetz is considered noch, even belavud. However, if you're dealing with zrika, where the chefetz is coming from the malo migimol, so then you need a hanocha gabi mashu. Well, the point here is that the chepetz is mavir. The chepetz is always on something, right?
It's still somewhat removed. Like it's
no, chepetz is always on something, mavir. It's in your hand.
But if we're saying that it's always considered to be on the ground itself, the love of them, it's not necessarily.
Why do you have chila for shuyos then?
But if you're saying that it is being, it's moving with rishuyos, it's not.
Right, so it's moving with respect to rishuyos, but it's always considered agave karka.
I just want to understand the Chassid's point. So the Mishnah's point is the point that because we're dealing with Mavir, there's already more shaitos to the Karka, since usually Mavir is being held up and is somehow connected to something. So now the entire time it's being connected to the Karka, so even when it's not, there's still more shaitos there.
But right.
It's Zorik, there's no shaitos to begin with, so in order to create that, you need the kosher. That's the point?
I think so. Okay. Or what's your other option?
Or is he just saying that Mavir in general, you need less of a Hanacha than Zorik?
I think it's the former. I think it's the former. It's not so clear. I don't think he fleshes it out. He says the chilek is between mavir and zori, which is actually what Tosa seems to say. He says the hamode rava the mavir betoch shlosha the chemunach bekarkadami. It's unclear exactly what that means. That mavir doesn't need as strong of a hanacha. I guess it's all be contra the perish kadam in Mitzrayim.
Right.
Right. That's enough kamina. But we'll get there. We're ahead of ourselves. I'll have to wait till later for the perish kadam in Mitzrayim. Isaac.
Louder.
Banish the word. Read like a Turk. Why not? You think that's mashma that you don't need a hanocha gavi mashu for mavir?
I would say so.
No, sounds very strange.
It's not mashma that way. No,
I'm with Yehuda here.
He means that you need to establish your presence in the reshut, and for mavir, you're obviously in the reshut. There's never a suffix where you are, so you don't need hanocha gavi mashu to establish your reshut for mavir.
It's adding a lot of words.
It's not true because if you're holding something in your mavir and you stop.
I'm
you
not
disagreeing with
Svara whether or not that works. I'm just saying that's not what happens.
Why not check the Chazonisha from the Kairo?
We'll check it out. Okay, good. I think that's harder to swallow because you never have a case of Mavir other than this case where you wouldn't have a Anacha Gavi Mashu. Right? It's always Biyado, it's always Begufo. So it's not clear what he would mean then.
Okay.
Right?
Sure,
where do you ever have a case of Mavir where you don't have Anocha Gabi Mashu except for this Tosos? Give me even one case. Because how could you generalize that Mavir never needs a Anocha Gabi Mashu?
What about the air hockey table?
Chazanish is talking about the air hockey table? Doubt it. Fine. that's Tosan Erevin's distinction on Tzadi Chesem Ebeis. The Meiri himself offers a different distinction. This will be the fourth way of interpreting the Hanacha of Lavud.
Another one? Because you already have one.
What? We have Rabbeinu Chanano.
Meiri.
We have the Meiri. We have Tosan Erevin Tzadi Chesem Ebeis.
Meiri take two.
Now we have, first Meiri is the Meiri B'Shem Yesh Omrim. This fourth position is the Meiri's own position, that Reb Chitkiya Bar Tuvi never meant to say that you don't need a Hanocha Gabi Mashu. He just meant that you have Zrika Lamata Migimel, but within Zrika Lamata Migimel, you need a Hanocha Gabi Mashu, like Rava says later on in Daf Kof. Meaning he's reading Tzadi Zayin in light of the qualification of Daf Kof. But what's interesting in the Meiri's formulation here is that he says, Ein Toras Lavud, Ela Binach Al Gabi Kolshu. Very fascinating. Sounds like it's not that Lavud is not strong enough to create a Hanacha. It sounds like you can't apply Lavud. Lavud is not a din in being the airspace of Gimel. Lavud is the din in touching the Karka Toch Gimel. So you can't apply love it unless you have some sort of kosher. So that's the wrinkle in the Mi'iri.
What does love it do if you're already on the karka?
Gives you dalad dalad.
Karka's always dalad dalad.
No, the kosher who isn't. That's the chiddush of lovud. That you have this barrier of three tefachim to define the karka. But only if you actually have slopes and juts. If you don't have them, love is not a magical principle. Anything within three is karka. It's that if you have karka, toch gimel, it's mitzuraf to the entire ground. That seems to be how the Mi'iri is reading it.
Anti-preserving the original fashion?
Could be. Yeah, even the maskana, which is kind of what Yehuda was pointing out. The Rambam seems to follow ostensibly the Rambam follows the psak of the Mi'iri. Rambam paskins in a case of Chazar Vinis Galgel that not only do you need Toch Gimel, or not only do you need Mashu, you need Toch Gimel. Right? Or not only do you need Toch Gimel, you need Mashu. Rambam says you need both. Right, so Zarak Chutz, let's say Zarak Mirshus HaYachid L'Rishus HaRabim, and then it's Chazar Vinis Galgel back into your original Rishus. So Rambam says, if you was lovud and it was nachal gabi mashu, then you're going to be chayiv. Because ki'ilu it's nach there. Ki'ilu it's omeid sham. So Bekiva Eger asks, one second. Once you have hanachal gabi mashu, so why does Rambam say you need toch gimel? Especially in one of the Rambam's cases, which he has there, where it's nachal gabi mashu b'rishus hayachid. Didn't the Rambam paskin like Rav Chista, that no athkona b'rishus hayachid v'nachal gabav chayiv? So you don't need dalet al dalet? What? Rabbi Akiva Eger. So the Rambam holds you don't need dalet al dalet in Rosh HaYachid. So nachal gabe ziz kol shu should be chayiv. Why over here do you need toch gimel of love to give you dalet al dalet? Liza pitzarachim. So we suggested in Shears that no, the Rambam doesn't need love to give you dalet al dalet here. Normally, nachal gabe ziz kol shu would be sufficient to machayiv you. Over here, the problem is chazar v'nis galgel. When it rolls into a new Rishus, so then you might say that undermines the original Hanacha. So Rambam says, if it's Toch Gimel and you have Lavud, then that original Hanacha is permanent enough such that even Chazar Vinis Galgel is not Mevatel the Hanacha Kamaisa. That's how we wanted to read the Rambam. So Lavud is not giving you Dalet al Dalet here. Lavud is actually giving you a totally new application or a new manifestation of Lavud. It's giving you permanence. It's giving the Hanacha permanence that can't be undermined by Chazar Vinis Galgel. You might say that the Rambam, this would be a different interpretation, this is what I was suggesting in Shir, is that the Rambam is really paskin like Rav Chidkia. Really, it's the Toch Gimel which is giving you the Hanacha. Aye, why do you also need Al-Gabe Ziz Kolshu? That's for Chazar Vinis Galgel. Lovud is considered a Maisa Hanacha, but it's not permanent. So if the Chepetz now blows back into a new Rishus, how could you say it's still as if it's standing in the airspace of the Rishus Rabbim where you only had a Halachic Lovud? So for that, for Chazav and Iskagel, you need to say, Nachal Gabe Ziz Kol Shu. That's like an opposite reading of the Rambam. And you have an important Nafkamina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What?
Is that saying that the Rambam, like that Kofin Sarizak is a Stira? You need Chazav and
Iskagel? No, it would be saying it is a Stira. Oh, yeah, exactly. It's saying it's not a Stira, and Kadaf Kuf is a special din in Chazav and Iskagel. Correct. I mean, either way, we're coming on to saying that Halacha is a special din in Chazav and Iskagel, and the Rambam to answer Bekiv Eger's Kasha of Dalet al Dalet. I'm saying once you come out to Chazar Vinis Galgel to explain that, you might say the reason why you need Kol Shu is for Chazar Vinis Galgel, not for the Maisa Hanacha. Right?
What's
so what's the Nafkamina?
Yeah, what's that?
What's the Nafkamina between these two interpretations? Whether Lavud is creating the Hanacha. So Nafkamina is what Rashi says in Daf Kuf Amid Aleph. Let's say you're Zorek from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and now it comes within three Tfachim of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and you're Nizkar. You're Zorek Peshogig, and you're Nizkar before it was Nacha Gabi Karka. Rashi's case in Daf Kuf. So if you say that Lavud is creating the Hanacha, so then it's already too late, and you're shogig mitchila ve'atzof. If you think the Hanacha is only al-gabe karka mamish or al-gabe kolshu, so then a yediyah before the actual physical Hanacha would patter you from a karban chatas. Because not shogig mitchila ve'atzof. Question is, when did the Maisa Hotza end? That's the nafkamina. What? It's in Rashi. It's in Rashi. It's Rashi di Ramaschil l'Rabbanan. V'nafkamina nami l'zorik dal ramos uch shebala nuach the higia l'soch gimel, l'soch gimel, nizkar shigigaso ad shelo nach. So then you're potter. Tamir masnisin ad shei tchilaso v'sofo shkaga. V'lo aminan ad shelo nizkar havelei munach. That's Rashi's nafkamina to this question. Okay, so you have six ways of trying to determine what kind of hanacha do you have for lavod. You have the question of dalal al dalal, which is the sugya and daf hey. You have the question of biyado, which is tosos on hamid aleph. You have the question of eged yad shmei eged, which is tosos on sadi beza mid aleph. You have the question of whether it's hanacha, whether lavod counts as a hanacha. That's the gemara and daf ches, the gemara and sadi zayin, and the stira to daf kuf, and the different yeshuvim of the rishonim. And then you have the sixth question of whether or not lavod could give you a kind of permanence that you wouldn't have had with just hanacha gabe mashu, which is how we read the Rambam in Shir. Nacha gabe mashu is not permanent. Lavod makes that into a permanent maisa nacha, such that chazav niskalgal can't undermine it. Yeah.
For the quarantine.